2 Timothy chapter 2, reading from verse 22 through 26. We're going to finish the chapter here tonight. I'm just going to take the title from the first few words of verse 22. I'm going to title this Youthful Lust. And last week we were in verse 20 and 21, and we titled that message Vessels of Honor. In the text we saw vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. And tonight we see the issue of fleeing some things and pursuing some things. He said in beginning in verse 22, "Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." Father, again, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word, upon our time together this evening. Lord, help us as we come to this passage to understand it and also believe it. We ask all of these things in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, especially verses 19 through 20, we've had two messages in those three verses. And we see clearly that we are, as Christians, to depart from iniquity and seek holiness, that we might be a vessel of honor. Now notice as we come here in verse 22, first thing that he says as we come toward the end of this chapter, speaking Paul the aged, speaking to Timothy, the younger minister, and I don't know exactly their ages, but Paul called himself Paul the aged and Philemon. And he would probably have been, and this is what some other writers believe, that he probably would have been possibly in his mid-60s. And the possibility of Timothy, he could have been even in his mid-30s. Now, we don't know this for sure. He was young, and the Bible speaks of youth, speaks of children and youth, and also adulthood. And so the Apostle Paul is continuing to admonish Timothy as a young minister. And so he begins here in verse 22, there's something to flee and something to follow, to pursue after. He said, "Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." I want you to back up with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And notice with me as we come to verse 12. Now, again, this is said to Timothy. Obviously, it would include all of us. Again, he's possibly, and we don't know this for sure, possibly even in his 30s. Now, notice in chapter 4, and there's many verses in the Bible on the subject of adulthood, on the subject of the aged, on the subject of youth, children. We have many verses in the Bible on this. And so when he says to flee youthful lust, that is to run from it, to escape the capture of that lust. The word flee, again, means to escape, means to go in the opposite direction, to run from. Don't flirt with it. Don't entertain it. Avoid it. And there's many other synonyms we could use with that. When he talks about youthful lust, that is desires and passions of any kind. I mean, it could be any kind. I'll list a few in a moment. But it could be any kind that are present in our youth at the time when we are still in need of growth, wisdom, and integrity. And so it could be any area of life. We'll mention a few of those in a moment. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let me give you just a few other verses before I read here. 1 Peter 2:11 speaks of fleshy lusts which war against the soul. 1 Corinthians 6:18, I'll say maybe something else about this in a moment, tells us to flee fornication. There's one sin. There's many others. Flee fornication, which is a sin against our own body. It's not only a sin against God and against others, but is a sin against our own selves. We find that Joseph, in the book of Genesis, he fled as a young man who loved God. He fled this particular sin. We also find that the Lord Jesus, and I'll make mention of Him again in a moment, that Jesus, even in youth and as a young man, we find that He submitted Himself to the Father in His humanity. And so He's our great example, 1 Peter 2 and in verse 21. But notice here, as we come to this passage, now, we've already covered this. I'm just going to briefly make mention of this, give you some other verses just on youth in general. And this, children, young people, teens, people in their 20s, even their 30s, these things will apply. And he said here in verse 12, 1 Timothy 4:12, "Let no man despise thy youth." Again, talking to Timothy as a young minister. "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, exhortation, to doctrine." And he goes on to tell Timothy to neglect not the spirit that's within him, the gift that God gave him in ministry. He's to meditate upon the things of the Word of God, give himself wholly to them. And by doing so, in verse 16, by taking heed to these things, that he would save himself and also those that listen to him, save them from apostasy. But I wanted to read verse 12 because he said, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity," which is very similar to what we're reading in 2 Timothy. Notice with me in the book of Titus. In Titus chapter 3, I'm going to begin reading from verse 3. In verse 1, he mentions the aged men. He's covering everybody here. In verse 3, he mentions the aged women. In verse 4, he mentions the young women. And in verse 6, he mentions the young men. So let's just pick a reading up in verse 4. This is what the aged women are to teach the young women. He said in verse 4 that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Then in verse 6 through 8, he speaks to the young men. He says, "Young men, likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity," that is honesty, "sound speech," verse 8, "that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." Then he mentions the servants in verse 9. So he covers the aged men, aged women, young men, and the servants. Covers everybody in the church or in society. Notice with me in 1 John, in 1 John chapter 2. Again, this is addressed many, many times. 1 John chapter 2. Now again, youthful lust. We know that in children and young people, and they have a lot of energy. And to have much more energy than we do as we grow older. And so youthful lust speaks of the strong, uncontrolled desires that are characteristic of the young and immature and may continue not only in youth, but these things can continue throughout life if they're not dealt with. And there are many temptations that come our way. And, Moses, Abraham, and their day, David's day, they all had temptations. They were there. Some was overcomers, and some fell to those temptations. In the time in which we live, there's many temptations, not only for us as adults, but also for the youth. You've got peer pressure. You've got pride. In other words, many young people think that they know it all. They find out years later that they don't know as much as they thought they did. And they don't want to listen to the elders. It's very easy for young people to get caught up, and adults too, even older adults, but it's very easy for them to get caught up in wrong kind of literature, the wrong music and movies, to get caught up in the time in which we live that Moses and Abraham didn't have is video games, the superheroes and all the things that go on today, wrong company and friends. There's ambitions, popularity, again, sexual immorality, and we could go on. You could make a list yourself. There's probably hundreds of things that there's temptations out there, and especially with social media and all the access that we have today. Again, those in the Old Testament and the New Testament times, they couldn't carry around in their pocket access to everything in the world today as we have in our time. So there's many temptations. I wrote an article in 2005, and I'm just going to read one little section, one paragraph out of it, but titled it Young Men. And here's just some examples of those who gain victory in their youth. Of course, the Lord Jesus Himself, He was found at 12 years of age, and He was concerned with His Father's business, sitting in the temple listening to the teachers in Luke chapter 4. Solomon, as a young man, now we know he made mistakes later, as well as David, but as a young man, Solomon spoke of himself as a child in 1 Kings 3. Humility was the beginning of Solomon's wisdom, and it really was. That's why that God gave him the wisdom that he had, because of his humility, and considered himself as a child, even though he was a young man. He said, he told the Lord he needed wisdom. God said, what can I give you? What can I do for you? He wanted the ability to lead the nation of Israel. David, when 17 years of age, stood tall among his people in his battle with God's enemy in 1 Samuel 7. He was a man after God's own heart and served his generation. Acts 13:36 tells us he was a man after God's own heart. He fell to some temptation as an adult, as a king. But in his youth, we see these things were very great things said of him. Daniel, carried captive as a young boy to Babylon, purposed in his heart that he would serve God in Daniel 1:8. Purposed in his heart as a young man. And his enemies in Daniel 6:5 could not find one fault against Daniel. And we know that we find nothing in the Scripture negative toward Daniel whatsoever. Samuel was dedicated to the Lord from birth, and God began speaking to him at a very early age in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Joseph, I mentioned him earlier, he was 17 years of age when God began to speak to him by dreams. Genesis 37, and God used this young man to save his entire family from destruction in Genesis chapter 50. Another young man, Josiah, 2 Chronicles 34, came to the throne at 8 years of age, and later, very early in his life, God began dealing with his heart, and he brought reform and revival to the nation of Israel during his time. Moses, when he had come to years, it's what Hebrews 11:24-28 says, when he come to years, he chose to follow God and to suffer with God's people. And in this article, we give some other examples of those are just a few of young people that did choose to follow God. These are all young men here, but the Bible speaks of young women as well. Notice as we come here to 1 John chapter 2, and he said, beginning in verse 12, he said, I write in you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write in you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write in you, young men. That's the reason I turned here. I write to you, young men, because you have you have overcome the wicked one, that is the devil. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Then we have the truth given to us, verse 15, 16, 17, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. 1 Peter chapter 5. And notice just one verse. We just read this in another sermon with another subject just recently. But notice in verse 5, he said, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. So again, he's talking about the younger, the youth. And they're to be submitted to the elder, and all of us are to be submitted to one another in the things of the Lord. Turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes, then we'll come back to our text. Notice in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. So I'm just picking out a few. The Bible is filled with these truths. So he's speaking to Timothy as a young man, as a young minister, that he would not fall to the temptations of this world. Notice with me in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And if you are taking notes tonight, most of you can quote these verses in Psalms 119, verses 9, 10, and 11, says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to the word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. So the Bible addresses all children, young people, the adults, the aged, we're all addressed in the Holy Scripture. And God does this so that He can be a blessing to us if we'll follow His ways. In chapter 11, in verse 9 and 10, we have a warning to the youth. Then in chapter 12, in verse 1, we have counsel to the youth. Chapter 11, in verse 9, said, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. And let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. And so here's the warning, but now here is the counsel and the blessing that can come to young people when they will not get involved in youthful lust and they will seek the Lord. He said in verse 1, remember now, chapter 12, 1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth while the evil days come not. The evil days here is not as much sinful days. The evil days here is old age, when we don't have the vitality and the energy as we once had when we were young. He's saying, use that energy while you're young and serve the Lord. So verse 1 again, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. As we get older, there's certain things we just lose pleasure in. We have no desire, you know, for those things. And I had to read this chapter to myself again. When you start in verse 2 and read down to about verse 7, and there's some symbolic language here. There's language like the keepers of the house, which has to do with the human body and the house, and the keepers as the arms and hands. The strong men in verse 3 are our legs, and they shall bow themselves, and the grinders are our teeth that shall cease. And those that look out the windows in verse 3 is the eyes. The doors of verse 4 is the mouth. That shall be shut in the street when the sound of the grinding is low. In other words, the hearing goes with most people as well as we grow older. And he even talks about being afraid of heights and all those things. In verse 4, 5, he talks of the gray hair. It's as the almond tree. And our desires shall fail in verse 5. And then we go to our long home, which is death. And so that's it's just described in detail. We have an entire sermon on this. It describes in detail with some symbolic language going to the grave. But notice verse 13 and 14. He said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, and with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." So the whole conclusion of everything is to fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Now go back with me to our text. So we're speaking again here of youthful lust, and Timothy is warned twice about his youth, and that's in 1 Timothy chapter 4. As a young man, we don't know how old, some believe 30s, and he's warned in 2 Timothy. So there's two warnings here to this young minister. All right, now notice as we come back in chapter 2 and in verse 22. Now I'm going to just kind of read through the rest of this and just make some comments on this. But again, this covers all types of youthful sins. And again, if you sit down and spent the next day or so making a list, not only of youthful sins and lust, but we could make a list of sins that we all have to be careful of, no matter what age that we are. But there's great warning given here in the Scriptures about youthful lust. I mentioned to you just a moment ago even sexual immorality. We did an article in 2008 titled Fornication. And again, it's a sin against God, it's a sin against others, but it's also a sin against ourselves. And I put in here in the section that is a sin against oneself, and I put this, and I read this to you at least once or twice a year, because this not only includes young people, but all people. But he tells us in 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body. There's something about this sin that's not like any other sin. And I put in here, sexual sins are some of the darkest sins of the human family and are judged with the strongest judgment, Jude 7. This sin destroys a person physically, spiritually, and emotionally. In verse 15 and 16 of 1 Corinthians 6, it unites the fornicator to devils, and the individual becomes a soulmate to the other person. In verse 18 of the same chapter, fornication is considered a sin against the body. This sin rises from within a person and has a peculiar effect on the body. It deadens the spirit of man and has a lasting moral stain on the body. It defiles the temple of God, verse 19 and 20. It weakens the individual and is like a cancer that eats away from the inside. Once indulged, it is difficult to overcome and can produce disease and shortness of life. A little short paragraph under this. It says, please keep in mind that something happens in relation to sexual sins like no other. It opens up the spirit of fornication and unites us to evil or lustful spirits that fill our hearts with lust. The spirit of sexual sins cannot be separated from the devil, from devils rather. It reduces one to an empty shell and enslaves them. There is no such thing as casual sex, and ultimately it damns a soul to hell. So these are the things that God has to say about these kind of sins. And we live in a society, of course, every society has dealt with this, not only young people, but older people as well. But we live in a society today, it's nothing today. I mean, we want to discuss sodomy and things like that. Let me tell you something. The adulterer and fornicator ends up in the same hell with sodomy. I know of parents that they would accept, you know, their children fornicating, and they'll say, well, I believe sodomy is wrong. They all end up in the same hell. You know, and so we live in a time that many young people that are not raised in the truths of God's Word, they're just involved in all sorts of immorality today. And nothing is changing for the good with that, except for those who are truly saved and born again and have a heart of repentance, as we'll see in our text. So notice now, he said this, he said, flee also youthful lust. Okay, some things we're run away from, to escape, to hide from. And as Joseph did in the house, Potiphar's house, he ran for his life because he did not want to sin against his God. And it says also, but follow righteousness. The word follow means to pursue, to seek, to go after. In other words, we are to follow these virtues that are mentioned here. Some of them are mentioned in 1 Timothy 4. So he said, flee also youthful lust, but follow, first of all, is righteousness. That's right living and a right relationship with God and others. He also says faith, that is faithfulness in our Christian life. He mentions charity, that is love. We are to imitate the love of Christ. We find in 2 Corinthians 5:14, it is the love of Christ that constraineth us. When we embrace the love of Christ and understand the cross, the crucifixion, and all of that, the love of God that sent His Son, the love of the Son that was willing to go to the cross, that's the thing that motivates us to serve and to avoid these sins. Then he mentions also in verse 22, he mentions peace, that is peace with God and peace with others. And he mentions also here in this passage, he said, and with them that call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. He's speaking of God's people. So we are to be associated with and in communion with those that love God, and that will encourage us as individuals to love God as well. Now, notice as we read the remaining verses, and again, I'm going to go over these fairly quickly. And again, he's still speaking to Timothy, but these things can apply to all of us here tonight. So he says in verse 23, and we've covered this two or three times already in our first 2 Timothy series, but he said in verse 23, but avoid, let me back up, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. We find here that Timothy was to avoid ignorant and foolish controversies. We see this in 1 Timothy 1:4, 1 Timothy 4:7, and 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 4, I believe. And so we're not going to go back and read all of those, but he is to resist error. Timothy was to avoid empty, aimless questions and controversies which accomplish nothing. And it's very easy to get pulled into those kind of things. We're to stick with God's clear word and follow that. He also tells Timothy in verse 24, he said, and the servant of the Lord, which Timothy was, and in one sense we all are, he said, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. We find that this is a description of the Lord Jesus in Matthew 12, verses 18 through 21. It shows us he's called, the Lord said, behold my servant, speaking of his Son. And he came to this earth to be a servant. That's why he's our great example in serving the Lord. And so he said, verse 24, the servant of the Lord must not strive, that is, must not quarrel and fight and always be arguing over things. He must be gentle unto all men and to have patience, apt to teach, in other words, the ability to be able to communicate the truth of God's Word to others, And also, again, the last word is patient. So to be not striving, to be gentle, able to teach, and have patience. And we all know what that means, and we all sometimes are in need of patience, are we not? I catch myself, you know, and I have to think about these things and say, okay, Lord, I need this. Well, notice the next two verses. Continues to talk about the servant of the Lord. He said, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Those that oppose themselves, they do it by rejecting the Word of God. And then he says, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. We find here the word repentance, repent or repentance, is used about 100 times in the Scripture. And it's another subject that really needs to be studied in our society. Many churches are not preaching repentance today for salvation or for service of the Lord. We find many cases in the Bible that repentance is absolutely required, not only to be saved, but also in the Christian life. Repentance is more than a decision. It's really a way of life. Repentance is an about face. We all know what that means, right? Turning from one direction to the other. It's a permanent change of direction. And it is a change of mind accompanied with sorrow and regret, resulting in a change of life. Again, it's a major doctrine of the Bible, beginning in Genesis and going through the book of Revelation. So he says in verse 25, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Everything is centered around the acknowledging of God's truth in our lives. Then in verse 26, that they may recover themselves. So it's possible, even those that fall into sin, to recover themselves. He said that they may recover themselves. And again, how is that going to happen? Through repentance and through acknowledging the truth. And he says that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So we, to recover ourselves again from the snare of the devil, that is the trap that the devil brings into our lives, and taken captive by him, we can recover ourselves through repentance and through acknowledging the truth. In other words, accepting the truth, believing it, and incorporating it into our Christian life. Would you stand with me, please? We'll pick up with some interesting passages next week. We'll spend dealing with perilous times and some of the sins that are prevalent in our society today as they were in the days of Paul and Timothy. And he'll show us how that we are to think about that and deal with that. Father, we thank you tonight again for this wonderful day you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for loving us. And Lord, help us to believe your word, to love it. And Lord, help us to live by faith. We ask all of these things in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.